So next, let's introduce item 17, Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Chair Wolf.
Excuse me. Can we please note for the record that Mr. Johnson is now here because he was not here during roll call?
Yeah, well, he was, yeah.
He arrived at 8:40 a.m. Yes.
Thank you.
Item 17.
And just also, since we open item 17, I'm closed with public comments.
Thank you, Chair Wolf. Item 17 is a recommendation for adopting a total maximum daily load for sediment toxicity and pyrethroid pesticides in sediment in the lower Salinas River watershed. This is part two of an item that started here in Watsonville in May 2016. At that hearing, staff provided a presentation on the sediment TMDL and the board asked questions and completed the public comment and initiated deliberations. At that point, we ran short of time, and the board recommended that we build, among other things, that we build a matrix of outstanding issues and conduct outreach to stakeholders on those issues. The board also directed staff to provide a comparison of the lower Salinas River watershed toxicity TMDL. Compare that to the similar Santa Maria River toxicity TMDL adopted by the board on January 30th, 2014. Staff completed these tasks but elected to delay the proposed Salinas TMDL while the similar Santa Maria TMDL was being challenged in court. As the court decision may have influenced the subsequent Salinas TMDL. This item today is not a do-over of the prior hearing in May 2016, but rather a more specific discussion focused on those remaining issues and subsequent to that, board deliberation and direction. At the end of the previous hearing, board counsel Jessica Yar noted that the only public comments that will be accepted at the hearing will be comments on the changes staff made to the TMDL between the two hearing dates. Jennifer Epp, the TMDL program manager, and Peter Mertens of the TMDL staff will provide a presentation on this item, and including the matrix. And with that, I'll hand it over to Jennifer. Oh, Peter.
Yeah, I'm Peter Mertens, and I'm the lead staff for this item in the TMDL unit to adopt TMDLs for sediment toxicity and pyrethroid pesticides in sediment in the lower Salinas River watershed. And I'm here with Jennifer Epp, the TMDL program manager. Here's an outline of my presentation. I'm going to give a summary of the most recent phase of the project and provide background information and a timeline of the overall project. I'm also going to review key issues, outreach, and responses from the May 2016 hearing. And finally, I'm going to recommend approval of the TMDLs. As a reminder, a TMDL is a total maximum daily load, which means pollution loading limits. In this case, we need to limit the pollution loading that causes toxicity. To summarize where we are with the Salinas toxicity TMDL, this is a continuation of the May 2016 TMDL adoption hearing, where staff presented the Salinas toxicity TMDL and all components to the board. Stakeholders provided comments on the TMDL, and there was extensive discussion about the TMDL. However, there was not enough time for board deliberation or a vote. At the close of the hearing, the board provided staff with follow-up tasks, which were to compile a list of the key issues from the hearing, to continue discussions with stakeholders, and to provide a comparison of the Salinas and Santa Maria toxicity TMDLs. During my presentation today, I'll refer to two different TMDL projects, the Salinas and the Santa Maria TMDLs. The Salinas TMDL is the project we are proposing for approval today. The Santa Maria TMDL is a TMDL the board previously approved. The two TMDLs are compared in Table 2 of the staff report. They are identical in almost all areas, and since they are so similar, the TMDL was delayed to await the outcome of a petition of the Santa Maria TMDLs. The court ruled in our favor, which further supports the fundamentals of this project. The Salinas Toxicity TMDL project area is the lower Salinas River watershed. There are two main drainages in the watershed, the Reclamation Canal to the north, shown in pink, which drains into Moss Landing and Monterey Bay, the main Salinas River, shown in blue, which drains to Monterey Bay. The valley is farmed with cool season vegetables and strawberries. The main municipal areas in the watershed are the city of Salinas, but there are also unincorporated county communities such as Castroville and Spreckles. The Salinas TMDL addresses water quality problems that are both widespread and significant. This is a list of the sediment toxicity impaired water bodies in the watershed. These water bodies were sampled 159 times for sediment toxicity, and 70% of the samples were toxic. The source of sediment toxicity is identified in the TMDL as pyrethroid pesticides. Pyrethroids were sampled directly in several of the water bodies, and pyrethroid-impaired water bodies are underlined on this list. A toxicity TMDL is necessary because the lower Salinas water bodies I just mentioned violate these water quality objectives in the basin plan. Note that these water quality objectives already exist in the basin plan, and we are not establishing these objectives today. They have been in place for many years in the basin plan. Water bodies must be free of toxicity, and waters must be free of concentrations of pesticides that impact beneficial uses of water. The purpose of the TMDL is to reduce pollutant loading and eventually achieve compliance of these water quality objectives. This is a timeline of the key dates from the Salinas and Santa Maria TMDL projects. The Salinas TMDL was kicked off in January 2015. In 2015, we had a CEQA scoping meeting for the Salinas TMDL and several public meetings. In January 2016, we started the public comment period on the Salinas TMDL documents. And in May 2016, we brought the TMDL to the board hearing, from which it was continued to a future date. The Santa Maria TMDL was approved in January 2014. In September 2015, the Pyrethroid Working Group petitioned the Santa Maria TMDL to Superior Court. In January 2017, the court denied the petition of the Santa Maria TMDL. Because the TMDLs are similar, the court ruling supports staff's recommendation today. Following the May 2016 board hearing, staff followed the board's direction. Staff compiled a list of issues and questions raised at the May board hearing by reviewing the notes and tapes recorded from the hearing and by meeting with stakeholders. Staff contacted all the stakeholders and had follow-up conference calls with them. Following the conference calls, staff compiled the issues and developed responses, both of which are included in Table 1 of the staff report. The discussions with stakeholders resulted in some non-substantive changes for clarification in the TMDL that are summarized in Table 3 of the staff report. Staff also provided a comparison of the Salinas and Santa Maria toxicity TMDLs. As I mentioned previously, the two TMDLs are compared in Table 2 of the staff report, and they are almost identical. There are 32 key issues and responses included in Table 1 of the staff report, and they can be summarized into four most common themes. First, the TMDL scoping, and was the project consistently scoped? And the answer is yes. It was consistently and appropriately scoped. The TMDL had extensive public outreach and many public meetings. The project's public notice, public comment period, CEQA processes all follow CEQA and basin plan legal requirements. Number two, pyrethroids are very important for agriculture in our region. Pyrethroids are used on almost all the major crops in the valley to control pests, and there are not many good alternatives. The TMDL addresses agricultural concerns by not trying to ban pesticides or pyrethroids, but by encouraging the implementation of management practices that impact to reduce their impact on surface waters. The TMDL also provides reasonable time frames for agriculture to achieve their allocations. Number three, the UC Davis criteria. The UC Davis criteria for pyrethroids are peer-reviewed and scientifically sound. They are reasonable to use as targets in the Salinas toxicity TMDL, and the court specifically upheld this aspect of the Santa Maria TMDL. So we are on solid ground for using them in the Salinas toxicity TMDL. It is important to incorporate this criteria because they are necessary to assure the water column is protected from pyrethroids. And finally, can the TMDL address broad groups of pesticides? And the answer is no. A TMDL by law must address specific pollutants that are causing an impairment. However, the TMDL relies upon implementation programs such as the Agricultural Order, Department of Pesticide Regulation, monitoring programs that do look at a broad range of pesticides. So as an agency, we are looking at that. The State Board resolution that approved the Santa Maria TMDL states that they expect us to follow development of Central Valley pyrethroid regulations and that the executive officer consider if revisions to the Santa Maria TMDL are appropriate. We have followed the process in the Central Valley. We regularly coordinate with the Central Valley staff that works on pesticides. We have listened in on their workshops, reviewed their documents, and evaluated their approach and determined their approach is not scientifically appropriate for the Central Coast region. Now I'll turn it over to Jennifer Epp.
Thank you, Peter. So I'll summarize a few key points from Peter's presentation.
You put the next slide.
So the water quality problems that this TMDL addresses, as Peter mentioned, are widespread and significant in the watershed. We are legally required to adopt these TMDLs and to develop this TMDL. And this TMDL will be implemented primarily through the agricultural order and the stormwater permits. And you have in the near future updates to both the agricultural permit as well as the Salinas stormwater permit. So it's important that we have this TMDL in place to help inform those updates. And finally, the science behind this project and the process that we followed are both sound and well vetted. Thanks. And so with that, staff recommends that you adopt the resolution as proposed to approve total maximum daily loads for sediment toxicity and pyrethroids in sediment in the lower Salinas River watershed. Thank you.
So, board members, questions? Mr. Young?
Peter, your last two sentences, you said something that staff is concluding that the science behind the Region 5 method is not applicable or sound to use in Region 3. I'm paraphrasing. Could you restate it?
We're concerned about some of the issues with the Region 5 targets and the development of them and their applicability to our program, and also the crux of our program is to meet the needs and the requirements that we apply into our regulations. Their approach is not going to be consistent with what our goals are.
Do they have different goals than we do?
I believe it can be summarized. They have a different regulatory setting, and our regulatory setting, even stemming up from just the hydrologic setting and the land uses is much different than ours, and a lot of our regulatory tools are different.
And if I may I add, I think it's important when we think about the Region 5 approach that they have taken and what we have done, is that to understand fundamentally that they took a different path with this than we did. So back in 2010, we started the Santa Maria TMDL, and we adopted in 2014 a TMDL for the Santa Maria watershed related to these pesticide issues. And then we've followed that through, and we're proposing an adoption of a TMDL here today. More recently, in the past couple of months, the Central Valley has made their first action on this issue, and they took fundamentally a very different approach than we did. The Central Valley did not adopt TMDLs for watersheds with agricultural sources. So fundamentally, what they did at the very high level was different than what we did. And so when we talk about whether or not their approach and our approach are appropriate, it's important to think about two main things, one of which is the fact that we're adopting a TMDL, which is different than what they're doing for agricultural watersheds and pyrethroids. And then secondly, the regions are very different. I mean, fundamentally, the reason why we adopt these things at a regional level versus a state level is Region 5 has different issues that they're dealing with. As Peter mentioned, different geography, different landscape, different crops, different practices. They've got a bunch of wastewater treatment plants that they're dealing with that we don't have. So these two fundamental differences makes us look at what they did, consider it, but not necessarily think that every individual thing that they do is necessarily applicable to what we've done. Does that help with a little concept, or does that muddy it more?
No, it does.
And I think our executive officer would like to add some comments.
So I was going to try to add a little clarity there, and I'm going to do that by asking Jennifer a couple of questions. So I'm going to do a little compare and contrast here with the Central Valley approach and the Central Coast approach. Can you talk about, was the Central Coast approach reviewed beyond this board's approval for the Santa Maria TMDL by State Board and EPA, and then compare that to the Central Valley approach?
Yeah, so what John's touching on a little bit is, well, kind of where we are at with the various processes. So we started our process in 2010, and as I talked about, we've had the Santa Maria TMDL that has been approved at every step of the way, approved by our board, approved by State Board, approved by EPA, vetted in court. The Central Valley region has just adopted their first action. And so it has only been approved at the local level. It has not gone to State Board. It hasn't been approved by EPA. It hasn't been challenged in court, et cetera. And so we will continue to track that, monitor it, see how that process goes, see if there's anything to learn from what they're doing. But they really are at a different stage in the process than we are.
Okay.
Does that answer your question, John, or is that okay?
And did you, one of the two of you, state something about that their regulatory approach was not targeting agriculture areas?
They don't have, they are not adopting TMDLs for watersheds with agricultural sources.
What areas are they covering?
They without trying to go into too much detail of exactly what they're doing, they do have some TMDLs that they've adopted, but they're just for urban watersheds that have only urban sources, not ag sources. So that's
okay.
The only TMDLs that they have adopted. Am I correct in that, Peter? Okay.
Well, that's a huge difference.
That's a fundamental difference than what we're doing. And so we can talk about the minutia of why they did something slightly different, but there's fundamentally some very big differences.
We don't need to. Okay, thank you.
Then let's see. Ms. Gray?
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you because I had lots of questions the last time we reviewed this in terms of the project scoping and the water column issues. And so thanks to staff for bringing it back and being so thorough and methodological in your presentation. So thanks.
Mayor Delgado?
Yes, during our briefing, when I was talking to staff over the phone before this meeting, I think this was the issue where there was State Board direction for our executive officer, I think, to follow the East San Joaquin process. And I think staff said they were going to make a phone call to clarify what that meant. Can you give an update on that?
Sure.
We actually have the transcript of the state board hearing, so we know exactly what they meant. And when they said follow, they really did mean kind of review and not to mimic. So we've been following it. We've been, as staff has said, that they have been involved with Region 5 staff in their process. So I think we've satisfied what the state board was looking for.
Thank you.
Mr. Johnston?
I love being far out here on the left wing because Mr. Young and Mr. Delgado asked the questions and I got the answers and I don't have any further.
All right, thank you. Ms. Cervantes? You know, one of what we were looking at also is consistency between our TMDL program that we have established in Santa Maria and Salinas. So they basically mirror each other overall, correct?
Yes.
So what we're looking here also is consistency of not having one set of TMDL requirements in one area versus another in another area, although they're different watersheds, but there's still a lot of similarities because of the ag land associated with these two locations, correct? So what I'm basically, you know, confirming is we are trying to also be consistent of not, you know, saying, oh, we have one set of rule in one place, another set of rule in another place, and really not having scientific justification of why we would make one a little different versus the other.
Correct. And okay. And the staff have nicely laid that out, that comparison out in Table 2 of the staff
correct.
Report that shows
but,
that parallel.
Right. But I wanted to kind of reframe this, you know, and very, very simply. So at this time, you know, I do have three speaker cards on this topic, and I would like first to ask Ms. Dunham to come, and you have 3 minutes.
Thank you. Tess Dunham, so Max Simmons and Dunn here on behalf of the Pyrethroid Working Group. I wasn't going to talk about Region 5, but I think it's going to be really important because I think you're going to be left with a wrong impression if I don't make a clarification for you. While Region 5 has not adopted your traditional type of TMDL for those ag water bodies that are impaired, what they've done is they've done a basin plan amendment that is a conditional prohibition against any discharge of pyrethroids above a certain trigger level that's actually lower than the numeric criteria that you're looking at today. That condition is you can discharge above that, but or if you do, you trigger the need for a management plan that has to be approved by the executive officer. And there it spells out exactly what needs to be in that management plan. So I just want to make sure you don't think Region 5 is ignoring pyrethroids in their agriculture water bodies or any water body, because that is certainly not the case. It's just a different approach and a different program, and it's an alternative to your traditional TMDL. It doesn't mean that it's any less protective of water quality than your approach. It's just a different approach, and I just want to make sure everybody understands that. And then with respect to what's being here proposed here today, we do appreciate the staff after the last hearing in May of 2016 reaching out. They have proposed some amendments that we do find are helpful, some clarifications that we do appreciate, and we are supportive of those changes and hope that you adopt them as part of the TMDL today. And lastly, just to comment that, you know, we the pyrethroids are in the middle of an EPA registration review process. The risk assessment has just been, the public comment period on the risk assessment has just recently closed. I understand the Central Coast commented directly, asked for a copy of those comments. So hopefully once Mr. Mertens is done with this, he can share those. I know he's been busy the last couple of days. And just to note that, you know, one of the things I think is important to realize is the importance of these products. In a recent economic analysis that was done, that on six specialty commodities alone, the loss of these products would equal about $1.6 billion annually. And many of those specialty crops are those that are here within the Salinas Valley. So anyway, these are an important tool, and we look forward to working with your staff as we all move forward to protect water quality and maintain tools for the farmers so they can continue to produce the world's fruits and vegetables. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. And before the next, thank you. So before the next speaker, you know, this triggered a question for me. Did I understand correctly that Region 5, and by the way, I'm not here to, you know, this is Region 3, so I don't want us to, you know, try to second guess what Region 5 is doing, I think. But did I understand correctly that in their basin plan, they're using a lower threshold? I mean, that's I think what I heard, or maybe.
Yes, but once again, it's tough to look at that one component without looking at it as far as the bigger package. So yeah, there are lots of differences between what they're doing and what we're doing, and there's that the thresholds are different, but then there's many other pieces that are different that makes those things very hard to compare apples with apples.
But when we say okay, let's define lower threshold of. Was this about the specific constituent pyrethroid, or
yes,
or can you, so for pyrethroid specifically?
Yes,
their basin plan has a lower threshold than Region 5. I mean, than Region 3.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so I will then move.
Can I ask a quick question to follow up to that? Yeah. So can the requirements for adopting a TMDL like we traditionally do be satisfied by doing a basin plan amendment? Or does Region 5 still have to do a TMDL for the agricultural areas?
So what they're doing is what EPA is calling an alternative approach. This is something that is new. EPA is starting to talk about this. It hasn't really been, there hasn't been very many projects that have done this before, and so we're going to track it closely and see how it goes. But EPA is at least open to the possibility of doing some alternatives to TMDLs, and we'll see how that evolves.
Continuing on my left, Mayor Delgado.
Yes, thank you, Jennifer. I thought I heard from Tess that the Central Valley's threshold is more protective of water quality, and when it's triggered or surpassed, that it requires a management plan to be written. What happens in our case when our TMDL is not met?
So first of all, we think our what we've proposed to you today is appropriate for our region, the whole package of what that is. So your question is what happens when it's not met? Well, so the TMDL will be put in and implemented in agricultural permits and stormwater permits, and those regulatory mechanisms will determine what happens through that process. That the TMDL itself doesn't lay out, you know, compliance and, you know, how exactly it'll be enforced. Those are things that'll be worked out in a permit.
Okay. Is there some reversion that reverts back to what our ag order says?
Yeah, so the ag order and the stormwater permits will be the implementing mechanisms for this TMDL. And so when you guys adopt those permits, you are giving direction on how things will be enforced and complied with.
So Bruce, traditionally what we do, we would work with the permittee to, if they violated the limit in their permit that was driven by the TMDL, we would work with the permittee to understand how they can drive down the concentration in their discharge. The very traditional approach of you have a permit value, you need to comply with, and then working with them to eliminate the waste or drive down the concentration of the waste.
Okay. So to look at the big picture, do you think that our approach brings us sooner to a resolution of a pollutant, or do you think that triggering a management plan and the subsequent steps that happen there would achieve a solution quicker?
Well, as far as speed, I mean, we've analyzed what we think is appropriate for our region, and our plan is appropriate. As far as whether or not they'll get to something quicker or not, it's hard for me to speculate. This is something that is still in the very early processes. It's only had its first approval, so I have no idea as far as what the speed will be of their approach versus ours. But the fact that we are so much farther down the path, we're going to be able to get started on it on things sooner. I mean, the Santa Maria TMDL is already being implemented, so we're already making progress there.
And I would add that there's a lot of uncertainty still with the Central Valley approach. It hasn't been reviewed as rigorously, say, as the Santa Maria TMDL. So I don't know that we can give you a great answer on which one's faster to water quality compliance, because one of them is a little harder to assess, I think, at this point.
But we will continue to follow. I mean, we're going to keep in close contact with Region 5 staff like we have been for years. They're a great resource for us, and we're a good resource for them. We're going to continue to see if there's things that we can learn from what they're doing, and they will do the same with us. So continue on with that.
And I think it's useful that the two regions actually have a little bit of diversity. They're trying a couple different things to assess, you know, what works, what might work better. It's a little bit of, I hesitate to say experimentation, but trying to understand in a really complex system what gets us to the desired outcome faster. I think it's kind of interesting that Region 5 is trying something different.
Let's see. I know Mike has the question, and then Jeff wanted to also circle back. But, I still have two speaker cards. And, you know, when I asked a question, it was more specifically to the last speaker. And I want to make sure we don't drift in other aspects. So what I suggest is that the additional questions or comments you have are specific to the last speaker. Let's do it. If it's more follow-up, I would like to hear the other speakers, and then, you know, we can continue our debate. Yes,
specific
Mike.
To the last speaker, and Mr. Chair, to your question, my understanding, and correct, maybe staff can correct me if I'm wrong, is that it's a little bit of an oversimplification to simply say that Region 5 has a lower threshold, that it's somewhat of an apples and oranges question, because we're looking at values in the sediment as well as in the water column. Is that correct? And Region 5 is not.
Well, it's definitely not an apples to it's not an apples and apples. It is definitely an apples to oranges. If you want more of the specifics, I'll let Peter tell you why.
They do look at sediment also in the Region 5. I think that only reinforces some of the components that we have in ours, is that they look at sediment toxicity too, but their triggers are based around the water column numbers. And it's about like splitting hairs when you're looking at the levels between these two different levels of targets. The numbers they're using in ours, we're already at very, very minute concentrations, and then they're bringing them down even lower. So we're at a very good point with the numbers we use, and they've been well vetted and approved and are sound. So we're sticking with that.
Good point, Mike. Thank you. And
I'll wait.
Okay. And then just to close on this one, and I'm not asking for an answer, I'll just express loudly, you know, my bit of puzzlement. If indeed Region 5 had lower threshold, meaning a more robust set of requirements of pyrethroids, I'm wondering why this whole thing with Santa Maria, you know, created such concern that it was legally challenged. If indeed Region 5 had, you know, a higher threshold of requirements. So that's a little puzzling for me, but
okay.
I'll leave it as that. Next will be Kay Mercer, 3 minutes.
Hello, this is Kay Mercer again with KMI. And did you say 2 minutes? 3. All right, great.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'm going to talk fast. So as you know, pyrethroids are attached to sediment, right? We all know that by now. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the work that I've been doing since 2005 with clients trying to develop PAM. And in 2016, we switched away from talking to agricultural vendors to non-ag vendors that work with soil conservation. So they work in timber and construction. And one of my clients has been trialing different formulations since 2012. And I'm here to report that I think we're really close to being able to tell growers how to use the product in the field, how much, where, when, and we're trying to negotiate pricing right now. So hopefully by the end of the year, I hope to be able to come back with a story with a lot more specificity. I think PAM is a very valuable tool, and that's one reason I've been committed to it for 12 years. And that kind of demonstrates how long it takes to develop management practices in agricultural settings. So in regard to the TMDL, I know that it's required, and Ag has been working closely with Peter. We highly appreciate the all of the work that Peter has done to engage the stakeholders. I think you cannot express enough our appreciation for that. One of the things I wanted to bring to you was new information that I've learned about the pesticide industry and its direction since we met in May 2016. At the CAPCA meeting, there was which is the California Ag PCA annual conference in October, there was a lot of discussion about biotechnology. And essentially, the industry is shifting away from your traditional pesticide pest management tools to biotechnology. That's where their research dollars are going. That's where all of their effort is going. What this means, as a PCA, I'm very concerned, because biotechnology typically either augments the plant to work more efficiently, or it creates synergism with pesticidal products or fertility products. And if we lose our pesticide products, we essentially will shift to biotechnology, but we won't have the synergies. And so when I look at the targets, it doesn't really matter if it's the Region 3 targets or the Region 5 targets. This is to go to your last question. From agricultural's perspective, basically, the regulatory and conservation and environmental communities are using agricultural water regulation to prohibit the use of products. And you're establishing targets that are essentially going to be zero tolerance. And so from as we look to the future, I'm very concerned about our ability to produce food. So that's those are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Kay. The last speaker card is Abby. Ready for you. And we'll give you your whole 3 minutes.
Thank you. Abby Taylor Silva, Grower Shipper Association of Central California. Last year, I spoke at length and submitted comments on this proposed TMDL and noted our concerns and interests in focusing instead on mitigation strategies. And Kay really just spoke to that. You know, we're going to continue to work with our members on mitigation opportunity review and brainstorming, and we really hope that the regional board appreciates the importance of this material to Central Coast agriculture. Recently, Shimat Joseph, who's a PhD and a University of California Cooperative Extension Specialist, based in Monterey County, he conducted a study that looked at the importance of pyrethroids that was published in, I think, the Journal of IPM in January of this year. And he found that many significant crop-specific pests are being controlled by pyrethroids. And these crops, pyrethroids are used as part of an overall integrated pest management program. And overall, the study found that pyrethroid insecticides really play a critical role in the management of vegetable and strawberry pests in the Salinas Valley. And they're also an important tool that has valuable worker safety attributes and can be rotated with other materials to really ensure that we don't get to a point where we have insects that aren't affected, right, by one material. They're an important tool within a whole box. It's also important to note that there's really very little reason to think that softer insecticides are going to be a replacement option. We're not seeing as much being developed for our specialty crops as might have been done decades before. So I just wanted to remind us all of how important these materials are. We also appreciate that staff included some amendments and clarifications that are helpful, and we just encourage the board to please continue to consider the many benefits of this material in future decisions and discussions. Thank you.
Thank you, Abby. And we have also an opportunity for a break, and unless there is a specific question, tying to this, I would suggest that we take a break and we reconvene at, let's round it off 20 minutes, so to 10:45, and we can continue debating this item. All right, so thank you.